Hi, this is Wayne Dyer, and I'm really authentically pleased to introduce to you a friend of mine who's a teacher of rare caliber. Stuart Wilde asserts that all the knowledge and the personal power you'll ever need, and more, already resides in your infinite self. I happen to agree with him. If you follow the principles and the ideas that Stuart outlines in this program, you'll not only access this vast potential, but you'll activate it and turn your life into a whole new experience of clarity and empowerment. You'll learn how to liberate yourself from all restrictions and merge with the reservoir of universal wisdom. Stuart supplies a practical action plan for attaining a level of metaphysical understanding experienced by only a rare few saints and sages throughout history. You'll enjoy the journey, too, because Stuart is genuinely different than anyone else whose work you may read or hear. He may at times charm and amuse you, at other times stun or shock you, but I'll bet you'll be riveted to every word and impressed with his unique perspective and compelling message. You'll soon have an expanded sense of yourself and your options. So get ready to meet and reclaim your own profound inner power. And now it's my genuine pleasure to introduce and present to you my friend, my teacher, my colleague, my spiritual soulmate, Stuart Wilde.
Hello, everybody. This is Stuart Wilde. Welcome to our program on the 33 Steps to Reclaiming Your Infinite Power. Before we go into the actual text and talk about the whole philosophy of the 33 Steps, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. Up until the age of 11, I was raised in Africa. It was a very, very liberal existence. Basically, I played on the beach. In fact, I cannot remember any school that I went to before I was 11. I'm sure I must have gone to some schools, but I've forgotten them. That's how much impact they had upon me. I cannot remember the name of a school, any of the children that were there, the classrooms, the teachers. School was not my trip until I was 11 years old anyway. So I was hanging out on the beaches of Africa, and then I was sent to an old English boarding school, one of those real old mausoleums that have been there since the beginning of time. It was really strict, and it was loveless and grim and had loads of rules and an enormous amount of restriction. I stayed at the school from the age of 11 to 17, and by the time I got out, I was keen, real peachy keen, on discovering freedom. I thought to myself, hey, I've had freedom in Africa, then I had restriction. I've done restriction, I've graduated from restriction, now give me freedom again. So part of my journey in life has been discovering freedom. In my 20s, I decided that freedom came from money. I didn't know any better then. So I hurtled out and tried to make a back of money as quickly as possible. In those days, in England, it was the back end of the swinging 60s, and things were really hopping and bopping. So if you were a lively lad, money came your way, and I made oodles of it. I was in the jeans business making 20,000 bucks a week, and that was in the olden days when a buck was still worth close to a buck. At that time, I was about 21 years old. But having loads of money so young was almost fatal. I went down the ego's path of self-destruction. Drugs, sex, rock and roll, and all sorts of nihilistic activity that was guaranteed to kill you before you got to 30. Having done that and got the T-shirt 10 times over, I got to the ripe old age of 28 and decided, hey, wait a minute, there's got to be more to life than this. And that's what got me into my spiritual quest. I think for all of us, we have to have at some point the desire. Sometimes the great wonderful goodness that is the invisible universe around us delivers to us a change, a special turning point. In the film business, they call it a plot point, when suddenly 20 minutes into the film, something different happens. Well, some people have a plot point whereby they get terribly sick. For others, they have a plot point whereby they whack a tree, like at 70 miles an hour, say. That usually turns them around. Or there's a divorce, a death in the family, a bankruptcy, or something weird happens. Generally speaking, when the ego's ticking along and is very pleased with itself, it doesn't want to consider, and it won't allow you to consider, spirituality, different belief patterns, ancient wisdoms, consolidation of power, and personal disciplines, or the kind of stuff that is involved in the sacred quest. Usually what happens is you have to burn out all of the ego's options first, and then whack a tree. So when you read in the newspaper that four people whacked a tree last night, know that they're basically seeking their infinite self. Of course, listening to this study course and following the simple instructions is a lot safer. But some people are in a hurry to discover themselves, so they whack a tree instead. It's basically their desire to reach God. That's what they're doing. So you don't have to get too emotionally upset. It's just the process of arriving at God. They just did it rather quickly. Well, I did my arriving at God by 28, because by then I was really bored, really fed up and totally psychotic. I mean, I was totally dysfunctional. One day, I did a very clever thing. I got rid of everything. I got rid of the Rolls Royce, the staff, all the hangers-on, and I gave what was left of my business to my partner. I had an apartment in London on Chelsea Embankment, which is a pretty kind of la-di-da area. I remember thinking one day, I want to leave. I want to be free. No more BS. I want things that are true and real and good. In the hallway of my apartment was a very expensive set of mirrors. So I rang up a friend of mine and said, send a guy with a van. I'm going to give you a gift of some mirrors. So he came along and unhooked all the mirrors and hauled them off. Then on the day when I left the apartment, and you've got to think in terms of this apartment being worth about $400,000 in today's money, the morning I left the apartment, I closed the door. I didn't cut off the telephone. I didn't cut off the electricity. I didn't write to the bank and explain to them why they weren't getting their mortgage. I didn't owe them very much. And I had loads and loads of equity in the apartment, but I didn't care about the money. I didn't even eat the food in the refrigerator. Nothing. I left all my clothes and all of the furniture, bar the mirrors, of course, and I left the apartment like I was going around the corner to the 7-Eleven. I walked down the street and I made a right along Chelsea Embankment. And not far from the building was a little drain. And I unclipped the front door key of the apartment and dropped it down the drain. That's how much I wanted to change. I was leaving. And as I walked out of there and left, that was the beginning of my spiritual quest. I decided, hey, Stewie, it's time for something different. So anyway, luckily enough, I found a spiritual teacher who started teaching me about Taoism. What's so beautiful about Taoism is that it teaches you to detach. Not only to detach from the world emotion, the emotion of your family, the emotions of the people around you, but you learn to detach from your own emotions so that you're not so much a victim of what's going on inside of you. The beauty of this philosophy is it teaches you to observe your own reactions. It's almost like standing above yourself and watching what's going on rather than owning the whole opera. You can observe your urges, you can observe your disquiet. You're not so much a victim of your own stuff. Some of the material in this introductory session I originally touched upon in a book I wrote some years ago called The Force. In that book, I explain the whole idea of the infinite reality in all things, and I introduce the reader to the idea of the Taoist philosophy. The Tao is an interesting thing. It's a Chinese philosophy that comes from about 500 BC. It is actually written Taoist, T as in Tommy, A-O-I-S-T. So it's written Taoist and pronounced with a D, Taoist. That always confused the hell out of me in the early days anyway. It came about because the people that studied the Chinese language in the early days tried to translate the Chinese sound into an English letter. And they never really did make up their mind whether it was Tao or Tao. So in the end, it's pronounced Tao and actually written Tao with a T. So you've probably seen the Tao Te Ching or Tao Te Ching in your local bookshop. The wonderful thing about it is that people buy the book and read it. It's all very flowery and they haven't got a clue what it means. And I must say, when I first started, I didn't either. But the beauty of the philosophy is that unlike a lot of religions, it doesn't have any rules. So it was naturally attractive to me. It has very simple concepts that are very inspiring and definitely take you from the world of ego, glamour, and illusion into the spirituality of the infinite self. So I was very influenced by Taoism. The world of the ego is one of agony, pure agony for most people, because even when the ego is being kept happy, it's never really happy. You can give it a new car. You can give it a new snowmobile, some sexual experiences. You can get it drunk. You can stuff it full of food. And it wakes up the following morning and it nails a list of things to your forehead. It says, hey, sucker, get me this and get me that. I feel insecure. I want more of this and more of that. So the ego always leans towards dysfunction. You cannot possibly come to any kind of serenity in what the Eastern mystics call Maya, the illusion, in the ego-driven world. Of course, when you think about it, this physical plane is a glorious experience. From a spiritual perspective, we don't really have any negative energy on this plane. We only have the illusion of negative energy. Let me explain. All negative energy comes from the ego. In other words, what we call the negative experience is any contradiction of the ego's opinion. So anytime that something happens in life that contradicts you, you'll consider you have suffered a negative experience. So you want to live a pain-free existence and you fall off the sidewalk and break your ankle, and there's a contradiction. You want a simple lifestyle with plenty of money and the check bounces, you get laid off from your job, and there's another contradiction. You want a reasonable flow, reasonable happiness, reasonable gratification, and your spouse gives you a hard time, your kids drive you crazy, the boss is harassing you, and here are a few more contradictions. You want to be cozy and warm, and it's pelting down with rain. So what we as humans call negative experiences are really only contradiction of the ego's opinion. Emotional pain is all self-inflicted. It doesn't make it pleasant, but once you can see that it comes from the ego's decisions, you can begin to heal it and heal it quickly. So in my method, there are no real absolutes. In other words, it's an illusion to say we've got to be cozy. We've got to be safe. We've got to be rich. We've got to be healthy. We've got to live forever. That's another one of the ego's special legislations, isn't it? You may live forever and you may not. The point about living forever is, there is no point in living forever if you live in a TikTok prison. There's no point in living forever if your life is a complete dysfunctional mess. It's better that you live a week or two as a realized, free, totally serene, loving human being than living 80 years in the mayhem of the ego. How long you live is irrelevant. It's the quality of life while you're alive that matters. If today was your last day on Earth, the only tragedy would be if you hadn't experienced life properly, if you'd never allowed yourself to actually live it. What's the point of life if the whole of it has been one of pain, anguish, dysfunction, and worry? That's useless. But if you've managed to reconcile yourself, if you've looked within, if you've reclaimed this infinite power within you, then all of a sudden you can say, yeah, yes, Stu, I've done it. I got there. I got the T-shirt, bro. I'm happy to go into another dimension. I'm complete. So when we look at people's lives, it isn't really the length of their lives, it's the quality. Yet looking around our nation, we can see that the quality of people's lives is going down the gurgler. They're getting worse and worse, sicker and sicker. So you've got two options. You can sit around and get ill, or you can do something about it. So the very first part of this journey, in my view, is desire. What is your desire? What is your desire to consolidate your power? What is your desire to become free? What is your desire to perceive the world in a different way? Can you let go of where you find yourself today? You don't have to go crazy like I did, because I'm a bit of a lunatic. I go over the top on everything. And you don't necessarily have to walk out of your house and leave. But in the end, it's the level of your desire. Because spirit never comes down to fetch you. Spirit doesn't wander around saying, anybody here want to get realized? Anybody here want to transcend? It's not whistling in the marketplace trying to drum up business. It sits there passively and waits for you to come and get it. So you have to reach up. Imagine yourself listening to this session and you're actually putting your arm up and reaching up and saying to that infinite God force inside of you, whatever which way you may want to describe it, Buddha, the Christ consciousness, Krishna, the Tao, whatever, reaching up and saying, hey, I want to change. I want to go beyond where I find myself. Because if I don't, I'll bore myself stupid. You gotta want to, and that's the first move. I wanted to, I must say. I had a lot of desire and a lot of tenacity. a lot. I've heard that in some surveys of people that buy these audio programs, it says that they never actually listen to the program. They leave them on the bookshelf so they can look as though they're learning. And of the people that do listen to these programs, many don't follow through to the end. Maybe these people don't really have a desire to change. So, bro, sister, if you're listening to this program and you have got the desire to change, you better get to the end of it. Otherwise, I'm going to zing round to your place and box your little spiritual ears. Because in the end, the laziness of the ego, the self-indulgence of the ego, the importance of the ego will kill you. So at some point, you actually wind up being in a war with yourself. If you let the ego win, then you're bound to fail. So, if you say, I'm going to impose a discipline upon myself, I'm going to listen to these sessions for 30 minutes every day, commuting, say. It's pointless chatting to a friend for 30 minutes in the car, because that's your discipline gone. Then your mind thinks, see, she's weak. She didn't follow through with her commitment. So sit your friend in the front seat and say, hey, listen, shut up for a while. I'm reclaiming my infinite self. I'm listening to session 6. And you follow through. Because in the end, if your word isn't law to you, then your mind knows it isn't. You say you're going to do something and you don't. What happens is the mind gets stronger. The ego gets stronger. It dominates your life even more. It harasses you more. So if you're coming along this journey with me, make the commitment. And if you don't want to make the commitment, then throw the program out the window. Or better still, give it to someone you don't like. But if you're making the commitment, if you want to be in the show, so to speak, you've got to commit to taking the time to listen. Taking the time to get to the end. Because as we go through these 33 steps, it's going to set you free. It'll liberate you from lots of unnecessary weight. So some of the concepts set you free immediately, and you'll get it. And some of them set you free later on, 3 months from now, 9 months from now, 5 years from now. When you comprehend what they mean, what they really mean, you'll see things in a deeper way. It's almost like an onion. You can take off one little peel, and you see the next skin below it. You take that skin off and you see the next one and so on. You're always going deeper and deeper within yourself. So stuff that you heard 10 years ago, sometimes you hear it again and suddenly you see it at a whole different level, in a different light. So that's what this thing's all about. It's about desire to evolve, desire to become something different. Certainly, I had desire, as I mentioned before, being brought up in Africa and going through a very rigid English education and then into a very rigid English society. I really, really cranked up inside of me the perception that I didn't fit. And of course, there are millions and millions of people around the world that don't fit. In my books, I call them fringe dwellers. The fringe dwellers are not hobos or hippie travelers necessarily, and they're not anarchists that are trying to blow up City Hall. They're just people that know there's something else other than the ego and TikTok and control and the institutions. They're people that know and believe in a different reality, an alternative idea. The fringe dwellers are not necessarily attacking anything. They just don't fit because they've sort of worked their way out of restriction, so to speak. They've worked their way through the popular emotion and the popular beliefs, and they've worked through TikTok and all of that stuff. They live in a different world. And yet, they may still be driving a bus for the city bus company. But in their hearts, they've moved to the outer edge of this human evolution, to the outer edge of the popular emotion that most people consider normal reality. I'm certainly a fringe dweller, and probably you are as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been attracted to these teachings. If you don't know you're a fringe dweller, sit down and have a little think about it. I'm sure you bloody well are. You know, like, you're weird, man. You're totally weird, and I'm totally weird. And there's millions of us, weirdos all over the planet, that are actually different in our consciousness. What happened to me is probably what happened to you. As I tried to mold myself into the three-piece suit, to mold myself into the English class system, the whole social structure, and trot off to Royal Ascot and get a top hat and all that, and go to the races, and there's the Queen moseying up the track in her little carriage, and everybody's so la-di-da, I couldn't do it. I couldn't fit. I would laugh and think to myself, what the heck am I doing here? The bottom line comes down to, hey, if you're a fringe dweller, if your mindset doesn't fit, then just agree to not fit. Why struggle? Sure, you've got to do things at work. Sure, you've got to show up at Christmas time and do all that away in the manger stuff. But in the end, in your heart of hearts, what you've really got to do is design a bridge that is going to take you from this side, where it's all TikTok and restriction and not fitting, across a river of consciousness to the other side. And that's where the infinite self dwells. Once you start to look at the world as energy, once you start to look at yourself as energy, once you have the desire to perceive, you will automatically write a different evolution for yourself. Think of it like this. Most people that are into consciousness, that are into working on themselves, accept the idea that life is created by them. If you're imbalanced, things go wrong. If you put out a lot of negative energy, you get a lot of negative results. These are not particularly awesome, shattering concepts for people. Most people are beginning to accept, or they already accept, that they create their reality. However, think of this. If you're inside the popular emotion, if you believe what everybody else believes, if you TikTok along the way they TikTok along, you're bound to wind up inside the group evolution of your people. You're bound to wind up where they are going. Because if you're not thinking differently, if you're not acting differently, if you don't have a different perception of life, you've got to be putting out what everybody else is putting out. And you'll wind up where everybody else is going. I've asked people in my seminars and lectures, how many of you are prepared to do nothing and just sit and be dragged along in the collective popular evolution? Because if you're happy to do that, you're going to wind up where everybody else is going to wind up. Of all the places I've played, and I've played hundreds of cities, I can think of only one person that ever put up their hand in response to that question. And I said to him, fine, if you want to sit there and go along with the popular emotion, the popular evolution, good luck to you. But most everybody wants to go to something different. But if you think the way that you've always thought, if you do the things that you've always done, if you act in the same way, if you have the same emotions and beliefs, you're bound to wind up where everyone else is going. If you don't fancy that, you've got to change. You've got to select a whole different belief pattern, a different emotion, a whole different way of operating. Discipline, silence, respect for the spirituality within you. You can't have it both ways. You can't just sit and do couch potato and go, yes, oh, that's a lovely idea. Oh, yes, smashing. Oh, yes, very positive. Very nice. Oh, lovely. And do nothing. You've got to be action-oriented and you've got to want to. You've got to have the desire to change. And that, of course, is the key. Wishing to evolve. Wishing to change. You've got to remember also that you're not on your own. I believe that the whole of the planet is basically one consciousness. That we're all little microscopic bits inside that consciousness. The whole of the human mind, in my view, is like one great hologram. Each of us, one dot in the hologram, you and me. If I change, it helps you. If you change, it helps me. Bit by bit, this whole consciousness thing has spread all over the world. It's kind of crossed religion. It's kind of crossed institutions. It is the journey back to God. You can call God anything you want because I'm sure he, she, or it doesn't give a damn what you call it. But the fact is, consciousness flows out and changes people. So we all wake up. It helps us. We are moving the evolution of this planet forward. So if you incorporate a couple, three new concepts in your mind and you raise your energy a little bit, you consolidate yourself, then that helps other people, especially the people that you come into contact with, that are going to feel your energy, that are going to see the difference. But I also believe, in the general sense, as your consciousness raises, the collective consciousness of all of our people becomes more aware. So we're all pushing energy in the same direction. We're trying to create a more loving, more conscious, better put together society for all our people. Hey, it may take a little while. It may take everybody 500 years to go beyond being so assaholic. But hey, what difference does it make? If you're infinite, it can take as long as you like. In fact, it's cool to think to yourself, at least we're moving forward. At least something's happening. At least we're making some kind of effort. That's the whole point of these 33 steps, to generate a new energy, to generate effort, to accept the discipline, self-discipline, so that you perceive and look and also understand that you cannot create a brand new energy, go to a brand new place, and still hold on to where you find yourself now. In other words, if you want to flow down this eternal river of perception towards your infinite self, you've got to let go of the branch that you're hanging on to and just let the river take you. That means you have to face your insecurities. You have to face your fears and really look at yourself. Sometimes to look at yourself is extremely painful because what you see is like piles and piles of caca, loads of it. And you think, my God, I'm grim. I'm totally assaholic. I need to join Assaholics Anonymous. I'm so assaholic, it's absolutely painful. Then as you get into that and see how assaholic you are, you can love yourself. You can look in the mirror and say, man, this is one of the world's greatest asses, but I love him. I love her. And I'm going to change her. And that's what's so great about this process. Think of this. If you were perfect, if you were totally angelic, if you were marvelous, I mean totally over the top, perfect, saintly, whatever, you wouldn't be here. The whole point of our evolution on this earth plane is to come down here with all the crud and all the muck and all the violence and all the sickness and the fact that everyone is so dysfunctional and ill, and we have to accept it, accept the restriction. Just getting into this physical body is a very restricting experience. You wake up in the morning and there it is, 180 pounds, much too fat, and you have to schlep it around all day and haul it about. Just being in the physical, that's grim. You got to haul it around. So we accept the restriction. We accept the negativity. We accept the ego. We accept evil. We accept all of these things in order to transcend them. Because if this place were perfect, we wouldn't show up. We wouldn't incarnate into this body. We'd look at it and we'd think, nah, it's much too yawnsome. It's too boring. I'm not going down to the physical. It's just like watching paint dry down there. There's nothing going on. So you are what you are, and you have what you have. And it's all up in the air. It can go either way. But you've got to want to drive it towards that infinite self. You've got to want to come. You've got to want to let go and make the journey. At this point, I want you to come to the next session, okay? No ifs, buts, or maybes. Just get on with it. Good on you. See you at the next session, and don't take long, because I like my spirituality on the hurry up. I can't mess around waiting for you, and you can't mess around waiting for yourself. We're going to get this concept, and we're going to get it quick. That's what I like about Taoism. It's short. It's the only philosophy in the world that's only 81 paragraphs long. When I saw that, I thought to myself, bro, this is perfect. I like a philosophy that's only 81 paragraphs long. Tiny little paragraphs at that. Almost like a poem, really. Perfect. Nice and short. Next session. Let's go, bro, sister. Let's go. Ciao.